The year 2012 is drawing to an end. It seems like just yesterday I finally got used to writing 2012 on for the date of everything, and now I got to get used to a new year, as do we all. But as we think about the coming year, the new year often causes us to reflect upon the year past and maybe some things that we can do different, and often called New Year's resolutions. We see those resolutions and we see opportunities for us to change, maybe for renewal. And we read here in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, some things maybe to remember as we head into this new year of 2013. Appreciate Payton reading those scriptures for us this morning, but I'd like for you to read them with me again. And as we study together this morning, I want us to think Concerning Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, maybe some things that we can remember as we maybe make our New Year's resolutions, as maybe we think of some changes that we need to make, or maybe it's just renewing that we need to renew our zeal as we go forward. Let's read this passage again together, and then we'll notice some things. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Friends, as we head into this new year, I'd like for us, number one, to remember the witnesses. Now, the Hebrews writer in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, is referring back to all of Hebrews chapter 11. That chapter, Hebrews 11, is a chapter that we often call the Hall of Faith. It mentions men like Abraham and Moses and the prophets. It mentions others that have performed great acts of faith in the name of God. And it is that cloud of witnesses that looks on, in a manner of speaking, through God's Word, looks upon us today. There's a great group of witnesses watching our race now. And so Paul says, the Hebrews writer says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now friends, the context of this passage certainly refers to all those heroes of faith who walked before, who walked in faith, and also in many cases had to give their lives, had to give their wealth, their health, and their families for the sake of Jehovah God. Let's go back one chapter to Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 32. And notice some of these things here. In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 32, we read, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourging, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two or sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. Friends, it is by that cloud of witnesses that we must run the Christian race. These great heroes who had given the fullest measure of valor are witnesses to our struggles today. You think of everything that they endured. When's the last time, friends, that you read of a Christian, especially in this country, being sawn asunder? Not sawn in half as we might see at a magic show, but sawn asunder as in from top to bottom. A most painful way to die. And these people did that for the cause that God set before them. Friends, Christians are promised their own struggles. their own trials. And we too must come through victorious. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 12, Paul writes to Timothy there, "Yea, and all who will live godly, or all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Now, friends, Paul says that matter-of-factly. He doesn't say it as those that will live godly may. It's a possibility. That's not what Paul says, friends. He says, they that will live godly, those that desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, they're going to. They will suffer persecution. And friends, we must persevere. We must push through. In John 16 and verse 33, we read, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Friends, whatever we may go through in this life, we can rest assured that there is peace to come because Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Regardless of what we may suffer. In Acts 14 and verse 22, we read there in the book of Acts, "Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God." Peter talks about it in 1 Peter 4 and verse 12, where Peter writes, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you." He goes on in 1 Peter 5 and verse 9 and says, "Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." Friends, we may suffer persecution in this life. We may even suffer persecution to some form or some extent here in this country. But friends, how encouraging is it to know that as we read Brotherhood publications concerning those in the Middle East that are trying to live the Christian life, those in China that are even now suppressed by their government, those over the world over, friends, that are being persecuted to the point of death. How encouraging, or how much more does that encourage us to live the life that we are to live as Christians? That's what Peter's getting at in 1 Peter 5 and verse 9. There are those that are suffering persecutions for the cause of Christ the world over. And friends, for that reason, for that cloud of witnesses that were running this race before, and others that suffer today, we must remember those witnesses that have gone on before. Friends, as we enter into the new year, let us, as the Hebrews writer says, remove the hindrances. Remove the hindrances that may keep us from running this race as we ought to. There in verse 2, he talks about removing the sin which just so easily beset us. Friends, just as the athlete who discards the leg weights before the race, we should get rid of the sins that hold us back from remaining faithful. Do whatever we can to avoid them. Let us lay aside every weight, the writer says. Every weight. And the sin which so easily ensnares us or besets us. What do you think about that? You know, oftentimes if you watch a foot race, you'll see these runners. They'll be running about very lightly, of course, with ankle weights on. And the reason for that is the same reason that a baseball player will put a weight on his bat before he steps in the batter's box. It's to make... Not that it makes it any lighter, but it makes it feel lighter. And friends, as we think about that, what good would a runner do in trying to run this race if he kept those weights on his ankles, holding him back? Those weights may be a proper training tool, friends, but they're never able to help him win the race. Those things must be removed, must be laid aside. Friends, we need to make up our minds as we run this Christian race, as we head into 2013 running this race, we need to make up our minds to lay aside the temptation, lay aside the sin, lay aside the problems that hinder us from faithfulness to our Lord. I'm mindful of what James says in James chapter 1 and verse 12, where he says, "Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he has been approved, when he has been tested, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those
that love Him.
Friends, this life, as we talked about in a Bible class hour this morning, it's not a 100-yard dash. It's not a sprint. Friends, the Christian life is a marathon when it comes to the pace. It's one that we have to endure, that we have to run with patience. And when we have endured that, when we have endured the trials of this life, it is then, friends, that we, as Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, that we will be able to say, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And for that reason, a crown of life, a crown of righteousness is laid up for me in heaven. Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. Concerning keeping his body under, removing the hindrances, he says, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway, or literally become disqualified. Be disqualified. Got a picture about race again, don't we? We've run the race. We've run the course, but we've run it in a wrong way. We've cheated somehow. And so Paul says, don't do that. Put it away, lest we ourselves become disqualified. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, the Hebrews writer writes there, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, completeness, in other words. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Lay aside, move on. Put those things behind us. 1 Peter 2 and verse 11, Peter writes, Beloved, I beg you, beseech you, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Abstain. Friends, as we enter into this new year, let us remove the hindrances. Notice the Hebrews writer says to lay aside every weight and sin that is besetting us. Friends, some of the things that may be holding us back may not be sinful. You thought about that? Some of the things that are holding us back may not be sinful. It may be family members that are holding us back. It may be friends that are holding us back. It may be my job that's holding me back. And the Hebrews writer says, lay it aside. Don't let anything hinder you from running this race. There may be those things that are not wrong in themselves, but they're keeping us from seeking Christ's kingdom above all else. We must shed those things. Matthew 6 and verse 33, right? Seek ye first. Our theme for this year, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Let's remove the hindrances. Number three, as we enter into 2013, friends, let us run the race. Run the race. Friends, those witnesses the Hebrews writer talks about in verse 1, they await our successful race. And let us run with endurance, with patience, the race that is set before us. Friends, those of us that are Christians, we've all started our run. So let's not get discouraged and not run with all our might. Let's keep with the pace, so to speak. Not fall to the wayside. Friends, I forget which Olympics it was. I think it may have been 84. But there was a runner in the marathon that had a nasty fall. I forget what country it was from. It was not ours. But hours and hours after everyone else had finished the race, this man comes running through. Other events had already proceeded. This man comes running through and finally finishes the race. And a reporter asked him, why didn't you just quit? You had no chance of winning. You're hours and hours behind everyone else. He simply stated that his country did not send to him however many miles to start a race. They sent him that many miles to finish a race. Friends, we as Christians, when we obeyed the gospel, God did not intend for us just to start a race. And hopefully, as we obeyed the gospel, we did not intend just to start a race. My hope and my prayer is that we all intend to finish it. As we enter into 2013, friends, let's run this race with renewed zeal. This marathon, the prize only goes that are willing to give all, their all for the contest, just as the man of the Olympics was. In 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25. Think about what Paul says here to the Corinthians. Do you not know that those who run in a race run all? But one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable, an uncorruptible, incorruptible crown. Friends, we as Christians must go forward and not be stuck at the starting line. We can't quit halfway through and expect to receive this crown. Paul writes to the Philippians in Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Paul says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. He says that I may lay hold on that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Friends, what is Paul saying here? Notice what he says there again. Forgetting those things which are behind and pressing, reaching forward, I press toward the mark. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. But you think about what the Hebrews writer says in Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. Where were Paul's eyes focused from the time that he obeyed the gospel? His spiritual life, that is. It was upon the finish line. That's where his gaze fell, and he was not going to allow that gaze to be shifted one way or the other. You'll hear a running coach telling his runners to not worry about the people that are running around them, but to keep their eyes pressed forward. Pick a mark out even past the goal and run through it. Why is that? Because if you worry about looking around, how close is this person on my tail, or how far is that person ahead of me, then you slow down. You have to concentrate on something else. Friends, we have to look unto Jesus. Run the race. Concentrate on the finish line. That brings us to number 4. Going back to Hebrews 12 and verse 2, reflect on Christ. As we enter into 2013, friends, let us always remember to keep Christ ever before us. Reflect on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Friends, the Hebrews writer tells us that we should reflect on Christ and his suffering in order that he might die for us. Verse 3 says there in Hebrews 12, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Friends, we often get discouraged when someone says one tiny little negative thing about us. Friends, let us be mindful at those times that Jesus suffered through an illegal trial. If I'm not mistaken, 6 of them to be exact, 3 Jewish, 3 Roman. Illegal trials. The high priest, the man that was to know the law better than anyone else, conducted some of these trials. The high priest rent his clothes, expressly forbidden, in the Mosaic Law. Jesus was smitten in custody, again expressly forbidden by the Mosaic Law. A decision was reached at night, again expressly forbidden by the Mosaic Law. All of these things he suffered. He was scourged at the hand of the Romans, beaten until his back was in ribbons. All of those things, friends, to go to the cross so that you and I might have hope. As we enter into 2013, let's reflect upon Christ. Friends, we are to keep our eyes as Christians on Jesus in order that we may remain faithful. This shows that even though we should take courage from the cloud of witnesses who died faithfully for God and they're watching us, the one we are to look upon for guidance and strength in our daily walk is Jesus Christ. In Matthew 17, verses 4 and 5, we read there, "Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And notice this, friends. "While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him.'" Now, friends, I want you to think for a moment the profound impact this must have had upon Peter. All his life, Peter had looked unto Moses as a hero. He had looked unto Elijah as a hero, the great prophet. And now, as Peter wants to build a tabernacle, one for the master that he follows, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah, he hears this voice, this resounding voice that says, "This, Jesus, is my beloved Son." In other words, Peter, you don't worry about Moses. You don't worry about Elijah. You hear my Son. You follow his commands. You think about what happened to Peter as he saw Jesus walking upon the water. And he did not initially believe that it was Christ. They believed it was some sort of apparition. And when Jesus told them to fear not that it was he, that Peter said, "If it's truly you, bid me to come to you upon the water." The Lord simply said, "Come." And so Peter stepped out. And as long as he kept his eyes on Christ, he was able to continue. But the moment his focus shifted to the wind and to the sea, he began to sink. And so he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, save me." Peter came to a realization there that his eyes must be kept upon the finish line, upon the author and finisher of our faith. Friends, just as a runner must keep his eyes on that finish line, just as he must keep his eyes upon that goal, so too must the Christian keep his eyes on Christ and the final goal of living with him eternally, rather than those things, those distractions that the world can offer. As we enter into 2013, friends, let us reflect upon Christ. Let's put away our Bible. Let's take out our song books. We're ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Friends, as we enter into this new year, whatever changes we may be thinking of making, whatever the case may be, friends, let us put a renewed emphasis upon our spiritual lives. Let's be sure that we know God first and foremost, that we walk with Him and strive every day to grow closer to Him. And to do that, friends, we must remember the witnesses. We must remove the hindrances. Run the race. And friends, as we run that race, keep our eyes upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Friends, it's essential that we begin our race number one. And so if you find yourself here this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Christ, what are you waiting on, friend? The starting gun has already sounded. Would you begin to run your race? Would you begin to do so with Jesus Christ this morning by putting Him on in baptism? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died for your sins?
If so, would you repent of those sins? Turn away from the world, giving your life wholly unto Christ, confessing Him before men, and being baptized for Him, immersed in water, coming in contact with His blood for the forgiveness of your sins. Would you do that today? Start to run that race. Friends, if you're here this morning and you started running the race, but you quit. Maybe you got sidetracked. Maybe you're still running, but you're running the wrong way. Come home. Run the race again and run it the right way, having Christ ever before. Friend, if you need to come home, if you need to come back, if you need to be baptized, if you need to obey the gospel, friends, we need you. We beg of you. We pray for you. We want you to be one with Christ and to be God's this morning. If you have a need, won't you come now as we stand and as we sing.